Well, the police commissioner in Blue Bloods was under a lot of pressure because this policeman killed somebody and they found out he was unarmed. And he said to the reporter that was asking him the question, you know, one of these Jim Acosta types, you know, who harasses. They're not asking questions, they're making statements and everything. He said, let me ask you something. What would you do if a perpetrator did this, this, and this? You asked him to stop. He said, well, first of all, I do. He said, too late. They have to go split second timing. And if they feel threatened, believe me, they're going to act on it. That's what they're trained to do. And that could save your life or somebody else's life in the future. So this defunding the police and everything, I'll tell you what it is. It's a socialist agenda. It's a socialist narrative that they have created in order to disarm not only you, take your own, but to disarm the communities and give free rein to criminals. The best place, if you ever have one of those, you see no guns allowed here, that's where criminals target. Why? Because they know nobody's going to shoot back. It's easy pickings. Well, we live in a fallen world, don't we? What do you need in a fallen world? You need wisdom. But you also need power. You need insight, revelation, understanding. You need a workable knowledge of the scriptures and how to get heaven moving for you. It's you moving in succinct with synchronization with heaven. What heaven has already declared, and you walking in tune with it. We're in our series, Wisdom for the End of the Age. We are at the very end of the church age, and we are in a period of grace right now. And you know that by the grace ministries that have come up, Joseph Prince, amazing, Andrew Womack, the balance of grace and faith, and all these have sprung up ever since and really become popular ever since 2000. 2000 was the end of 6,000 years of human history, where you had 2,000 years of the nations, 2,000 years of the Hebrews, and 2,000 years of the church. Three different sections. Moses' life portrayed that in three different sections. 40 years, 40 years, and 40. He lived 120 years. And the days of man, it says in Genesis 6, it says, shall be 120 years. What kind of years? Jubilee years. 50 years. 120 times 50 is exactly 6,000. So at the year 2000 was the end of what we call the church age, except for God's grace. And we are in that. The rapture of the church could happen anytime. Before you even get home today, the rapture of the church could happen. You say, well, I haven't even got a chance to do anything. It won't matter. If you're in heaven, you got the best thing. Even the dog work in heaven is the best thing you ever saw in your life. You have all eternity to do it. Yeah. Amen. You don't want to miss that wagon when the angels come down for the first scoop of humanity. But today we're talking about, we talked about the Council of Wisdom. We have a counselor living inside of us. Many of us have suppressed that. We haven't listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're making decisions based on need and things like have you ever consulted the Holy Spirit and asked him to help you make this decision? Ask him for wisdom. Ask him to part. I mean, we have God living on the inside of us, and yet we're still doing things the world's way. Well, I'm going to back up on that. I don't. How about you? You doing things God's way? So we talked about the counselor. We talked about the boldness of wisdom. When you have the wisdom of God on the inside of you, people say, you arrogant. You think you have the wisdom of God? No, he said it. I'm quoting him. And that's humility, by the way. Is when you believe the word of God, when you speak what God speaks about you, that's humility. Don't have time to go there today. But this world's opinion of humility and what humility really is are two different things, and they never do connect. And today we're talking about the benefits of wisdom. You know, in Luke chapter 11, verse 49, Jesus called the Word of God the wisdom of God. When you pray for wisdom, what does God give you? He gives you insight and revelation and workable understanding of the Word. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. So turn with me to Psalm 103. We're going to talk about some benefits. And, you know, as we open the Word of God, we open the wisdom of God, we are opening the heart of God. So let's make our confession today. This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. So in Psalm 103, we'll start in verse 2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all," everybody say all, "all of His benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Say this, I remember all of His benefits, all the time, all the day long. Amen. Well, and you know what? He forgives all your iniquity, He heals all your diseases. Amen. You know, and this is Old Testament here. And we have a better covenant based on better promises than they had back in the Old Covenant. It says that in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. We having a better covenant based on better promises. So if He forgave all their iniquities back then under the Old Covenant, then He still forgives all of our iniquities under the New Covenant. Why? Because we have at least what they have and better based on better. Better squared. It's a better covenant based on better promises. He bases it on His own promise to you. His promise cannot fail. His Word cannot fail. He cannot alter the thing that has gone forth from His lips, and He will not break that covenant. When He speaks, it is eternal spiritual law. It is covenant. When God speaks, He doesn't change it. It is true now, as it always will be, as always will. Halfway through eternity. You can't get there. Because as soon as you get there, there's more eternity than that. So forget the watches and everything when you get to heaven. You're not going to need it. You won't even know when it's nighttime because it's never nighttime there. It's always day. Hallelujah. Woohoo! Glory to God. Always day. John, you can play baseball with a glorified body too, man. All day. Kevin, you could, oh man, they got some ballparks in heaven. Golf courses, they got them all. Amen. So if He forgave everything, and He just still doesn't now, if He heals all their diseases under the old covenant, then He still heals all of our diseases under the new covenant. Why? Because we got better squared. We got a better covenant based on better promises. We got better on better. Hallelujah. Better based on better. Better, better, better. No matter what happens to you, you got something better coming. That's why you can count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trying or the working or the exercising of your faith produces endurance, patience, consistency. Oh, hallelujah. You'd be an answer going somewhere to happen. You'll be an answer and a solution going somewhere to find a problem or a need. Why? Because where you walk, Jesus walks. Amen. He lives in you. He says, I'll walk in them. I'll live in them. I will be their God and they'll be my people.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are the temple, the tabernacle of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Say this, I'm forgiven. Totally forgiven. I am healed. Totally. Woo! Oh, you should have seen me this morning. She was kind of concerned. But I'm strong. I tell you something, when you got a word inside of you that you're going to deliver to some people and get them free, the devil comes at you any way he can. But you know what? He's already defeated. Once he starts hearing the word, he lets go. He doesn't want to be around the word. Mm. The Bible says that Jesus absolutely paralyzed Satan. The only reason I'll bring up Satan's name in the church here is to tell you that he's paralyzed.
Amen.
Paralyzed. Amen. He's still shaking from that blow that Jesus put on him. Mm. You know why he did that? Because he loves you.
Amen.
Everybody say this, I have better,
on better.
I have better, on better. Well, let's take a look how the Spirit moves in the New Testament, and I want to build a little foundation here before we get into some benefits. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul is praying a prayer for the Ephesian church, and this is the inspired word of God, so you can take this same prayer and apply it to your life, because this is a Holy Spirit inspired prayer. And he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. About 14 things just came to my mind just now. I got to pause for a second. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Believe it or not, there are so many benefits that God has bestowed upon the church. And I say believe it or not, because if you look at what the Bible says about us and what we're actually doing, declaring, experiencing, and walking in, there's a big discrepancy there in there. To the point where we've fallen far short of what we can actually do and accomplish and walk in what God has actually given to us. He's given us an enormous inheritance that is ours. But here's the good news. The covenant is still as strong as it ever was. And it's still there for your use. It's at your disposal. As for God, his covenant is with you. It's with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're the beneficiary of it all. And whether you walk in it or not is totally up to you. It's not even up to him or the Holy Spirit or anybody. It's up to you.
That's right.
So open up your heart and receive everything that God has for you and walk in the privileges and rights that every citizen of the kingdom of heaven has. You think you have rights in this country? They're working hard at taking them away. But you know what? God founded this country and the devil can't have it.
Amen.
Oh, he's got his mitts around it. Trying to control everything with a vaccine, control everything with a mask, control everything with this, with fear. And so, if you're not vaccinated, then you're putting me in danger. Are you vaccinated? So how is my not being vaccinated endangering you?
It doesn't even make sense.
Takes outside help to be that stupid. Really, I mean, you've really got to have help. You've got to really work at it to be that dumb. So, I mean, think about that for 2 minutes. Who are we endangering? If they're so hep on getting the vaccine, let them get the vaccine. But you see, their rights somehow depend on infringing on my rights. It's not the way the country is designed. We have rights, and we are going to enforce them lovingly and walking in faith before God and representing him the way he would walk. We walked into Walmart down South Elgin about 2 weeks ago or something like that. The guy said, "Hey, do you have a mask?" I said, "Yes, I do. Thank you." Another guy at Jewel said, "Can I ask you to wear your mask?" I said, "Yes, you can." That's your right. You can do that. But like I said last week, the COVID-19, by the way, COVID-19 is over. It's this new thing that they're doing, but yet they insist you get the vaccine for COVID-19. Ooh. So, I mean, and then they say, follow the science. I said, well, I am. And I'm following geniuses who have done all their research. And they say, don't get it. Don't get it. Alichka and the Zapania family have firsthand knowledge about a neighbor of theirs who took the vaccine. Totally healthy woman. 3 days later, she's dead. It's dangerous, folks. It's synthetic material going into your body. It'll change your DNA, too. So, but we have an inheritance in God. You know, part of that inheritance is a protection package. And the wisdom of God will show you what that package is and how to do it. This is a benefit of it. John G. Lake knew it. He said, "Sirs, I believe that I have the law of the Spirit of life in me." What happened was John G. Lake was a missionary in South Africa where the bubonic plague broke out. And when the people died, there'd be a froth that comes out of their mouth. It was just, it was ugly stuff. And finally, a ship arrived with a medical on, and the doctors came off, and they started ministering this medicine to people for it. And they said, "How have you been keeping yourself protected, Dr. Lake?" And he said, "Sirs, I believe the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And they said, "What? Who are you and what did you do with Dr. Lake?" I said, "What is that?" He says, "Okay, you'd probably want to do an experiment. You know that blood, bloody froth that comes out of their mouth when they die? Take some of that and put it on a slide and put it under a microscope and you will see billions of bacteria in that thing. Then I'll put my hand under the microscope and you put those bacteria on my hand and they'll die as soon as they hit my hand because the law of the Spirit of life doesn't give them any license at all to live." Well, they did, and they did. They put it on, and immediately they died. He said, "That, sirs, is the law of the Spirit of life. It's a spiritual law. It's the laws of life that Jesus came to give us." He says, "I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly." More abundantly than what? COVID. More abundantly than bubonic plague. More abundantly than any sickness or any disease has no legal right in your body. It's all medicine can do is mask the symptoms until your body can get strengthened back. That's all they can do. But Jesus heals. He cures. He totally wipes it out. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made you free. But how are you going to walk in that? You got to see yourself healed. That's where it starts. See yourself the way God sees you. See yourself. Let him rebuild your imagination to conform to what he has said about you. When you start to imagine it, think it, a renewed mind, it says in Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." Transformed, that word is metamorphosis. Transformed, that means renovated, cleaned out, and restored, made new by the renewing of your mind. You know, Watchman Nee wrote a book called The Latent Power of the Soul. And, you know, science has said we use 8, maybe 10% of our brain. And I'm talking about the geniuses of this world. Most of us use less. And I'm no cerebral giant, but I can tell you this. My thinking has got a lot clearer since I got saved and filled with the Spirit. Amen. The latent power of the soul. Your soul experienced a renewal of the Word of God and the life and the faith and the power that's in the Word of God. You know, there are men like Wycliffe who translated the Bible, and he was burned at the stake for it in England. And then almost 20 years later, King James came in and ordered a Bible to be made. And they made it based on everything that Wycliffe had already done. People died to give us this. Why? Because they know how powerful it is. They know it's not just words. This is life. These words here, this is not the Word of God. The Word of God is a living thing. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are life. They are spirit and they are life. These words written on a page of ink and everything do no good until they get in here. And once they get in here, they start taking root. And once they take root, they start producing after their own kind. Whoa, praise God. If you get healing scriptures down on the inside of you and a disease comes your way, you're going to say, stop. You don't belong here. If you have prosperity and all of a sudden you look at your checkbook and you're a little short, say, no, you don't in the name of Jesus. I call it in now. Whoa, Dwight, that was a powerful message today. Because you have a father who is waiting to dump the entire contents of heaven out on you through his windows. Sometimes you just got to use these windows to see yourself prosperous. Until you see yourself prosperous, you're not going to be there. Until you see yourself healed. You know, Dodie Osteen, Joel Osteen's mom, and I was a huge, huge follower of John Osteen, Joel's dad. But Dodie Osteen was diagnosed with cancer, and they gave her, what, 6 weeks, something like that, to live? You know what she did? They put pictures of her when she was healthy all over the house, in the bathroom mirror, everything, so she could only see herself healthy. She wrote down scriptures, the healing scriptures, and went through them, what, 3 or 4 times a day, just building those truths into her spirit, building those into her spirit. What is that? That's building the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God and the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who Jesus is. Peter found that out. We kind of experience that when you read Matthew 16. Jesus said, who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, come back from, some say you're one of the prophets, Elijah, something. He said, who do you say I am? This is something that you're going to have to answer. Who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father revealed it to you. And I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you lock up on earth is locked up in heaven. And whatever you unlock in heaven is unlocked on earth. The power of binding and loosing comes with the revelation of knowing who Jesus is. The wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen. Do you see it?
Yes.
This will give you the wisdom to rise above every single trial, every single test that you ever face in life, because the Word of God empowers you to do so. You have a hope that lives on the inside of you, a hope of your calling. He prayed that the eyes of your spirit would be enlightened to know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, your inheritance. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not a sub-heir, a joint heir. This is rich. This is the riches of your inheritance. And also the exceeding greatness of his power that has already been placed inside your spirit. And that word is dunamis. It is the miracle-working, life-giving, wonder-working power of God that has been placed in your spirit. You're a steward of the hope that God's called you to. You are a steward of the inheritance that you have. You know, if you study the life and ministry of Jesus and really study the Gospels, how Jesus responded, what he said, the things that, how he approached the multitudes, how he turned when he heard faith, he always stopped and said, bring him to me. What do you want? I want to see. Be it done unto you according to your faith. You would be shocked at how Jesus expected the Father, what he expected the Father to do. When he showed up, he fully expected the Father to show up. Why? Because that's what he does. That he didn't accept anything less than that. When he spoke, he expected the Father to fulfill his words. And he did. That same Father is in you. Jesus said, me and my Father will come and make our house, our abode with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this may sound like fantasy to some of you, but this is the absolute truth. I'll tell you what is fantasy. The dead human religion of man that has relegated everything to sometime past or sometime present, never now, when you need it. You know, I used to, when I first got saved, I went to this church. They said, oh, well, miracles have passed away. And I said, really? Just when I needed it? Come on. You know, I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know enough to get it right. How about you? And enter into their arguments, and you know what? It's a huge door. It's a huge trap. It's quicksand, getting into the theological debates of people who really don't want the power of God in their life. But if you want the power of God working in your life, it is real. It is there. I'm proof of it. Amen. I'm standing before you right now, preaching in power and strength that I didn't have an hour ago. Just because you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in faith doesn't mean you're not going to be attacked. Jesus said you will be. Yes. But he said, greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. I have an inheritance from the Father. Wisdom brings all of the promises to God to the forefront and further through your understanding of the New Testament. This is a mirror. This tells you what you have on the inside of you, in your spirit. This is a record of the spiritual insides that you have in your spirit. This is your spiritual heart, your spiritual lungs, your spiritual kidneys, your spiritual pancreas, all of your spiritual innards. This is a categorical list of all that you have on the inside of you. It's called love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, mercy, self-control, and all of those good things that you develop in your lifetime already been deposited in you. The gifts of the Spirit have already been deposited in you when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But we still, why do they still do things in their own power and in their own understanding? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I want to show you something, really, that it's a powerful scripture. And Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10, it says this, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, what does that mean in modern day English? The New American Standard Bible says this, the same verse. You got that, John? If the axe is dull, that's the iron. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom, however, has the advantage in giving success. If you have a dull axe, you got to put in a lot more strength. But we used to chop a lot of wood and split a lot of logs and so forth when I was a kid in my house. We had a big fireplace and that was my punishment, to go out and chop some, you know, split logs, do it for an hour, you know. I was always getting the slack jerked out of me because I'm not going to go there. But you know, those are good days. And I enjoyed my family, my brother especially, my dad. But it says we had a really sharp axe. And it would go down like that. Just take those logs and just split them right down the middle. And it was just letting the weight of the axe head go down. I didn't have to exert much effort at all. Wisdom is the sharp edge of getting through all of the lies of the devil, all of the deception, carves right down, right into the meat of your benefits and everything that God has given you and deposited inside of you. This covenant tells you all about it. It's already done. It's complete in Him. This is your mirror. This is your encyclopedia. It's your categorical list of God speaking to people, and He's speaking to you through this. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. Somehow we got these. This word is God's blessing overtake me. Things, everything that the word is, everything that God has already put in you is listed right here. Can you understand that? Do you grasp that? You know, you may be waiting for God to do something more. He can't. You know, Kenneth Copeland asked him one time, he says, God, give me more power. And the Lord said, where am I going to get it? And it just snapped him to attention. He said, yeah, where are you going to get it? He says, I'm the top of the food chain here. And if you don't receive my word, you're never going to receive the power that I've already given. I'm not going to get it. Where am I going to get more power than is right here? Where am I going to get more power that says, forgive if you have aught against any that your heavenly Father might forgive you? You get the power to forgive through the word when you realize the 97 spears that are coming your way if you walk in unforgiveness. It's the trap of the devil. The benefit is you'll see the devil's plan. Look at this. I don't have these scriptures written, but they occurred to me when I was in my office a little earlier. But in Proverbs chapter 3, it talks about that wisdom brings joy. Wisdom brings health. Wisdom brings long life. Wisdom brings promotion. Wisdom brings peace. Wisdom brings honor. Wisdom brings riches. These are the benefits of wisdom, and there's many more. These are just a few in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So, in James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, where it says, if any of you lack wisdom, have you ever lacked wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously, liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the waves. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from God. God tells us to ask in faith. What is asking in faith? Jesus said in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So when you ask for wisdom, believe you receive wisdom when you ask for it. Amen. Now, you say, well, I did that before. It didn't show up. Well, let me ask you this. Did it show up in joy? Did it show, joy of the Lord is your strength. Did it show up in health? Did it show up in long life? Well, I can tell you that. Mine's getting a lot longer than it is now. But I didn't think I would live this long. If I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. No, I'm kidding. I take good care of myself. Long life. Maybe it showed up in a promotion. See, with wisdom comes promotion. With wisdom comes peace. Maybe it just came to you in the form of peace. Maybe that's how it manifested in your life. Maybe wisdom showed up when somebody honored you for something you said or did to them or whatever, for them. Maybe it came in riches. When you ask for wisdom, don't predetermine how it's going to show up. It may be an answer just when you need it. But when you pray, believe you receive it. And then next week, when all of a sudden you need to settle an argument between two people, all of a sudden wisdom is there. Maybe by the time you get there, God has already given them wisdom and they worked it out before you even got there, because it would directly affect you. You got to walk in faith. Let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. God is not limited to our peanut-sized little brain. And our way of thinking and our expectations are so small compared to him. Believe it or not, there's a lot of benefits that have been given to you. And your job is to walk in faith and believe. That's it.
Amen.
It's God's job to take care of you and do the rest. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He's Jehovah Rea, your shepherd. If you get yourself in a valley, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. He doesn't jump ship just because you hit a storm. And he doesn't get out of the way just because you're in a valley. No, he leaves the 99 and goes find you. Amen. Boy, I have so much here. You got time? Okay. What's that? Yeah, okay. Wisdom will show you how to react, how to respond when you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, when you get a threat from your employer saying, unless you're vaccinated, you can't work here. You know, good. You say, you know what? That's fine, because right now, the devil, in trying to create this huge nanny state with unemployment benefits and everything, has opened up so many jobs for me. I'll just go where they think that I'm worth more to them than the vaccine. Amen. You got so much favor going for you right now. You have so many opportunities. There are more jobs open right now, and people are not wanting to work. Why? Because the government's paying them to stay poor. To stay idle. You know, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Look what's happening to the country with his nanny state. Welfare. Government is our father who art in Washington. That's where it's getting to be. I like what Ronald Reagan said. He says, you know, government doesn't solve your problems. Government is the problem. That's what the Constitution gave us, is small government, and it's by the people, for the people. Of the people, not the other way around. And they're taking this thing over, and it's all coming from the top down. It doesn't matter who you voted for your local mayor. It doesn't what your board of education, doesn't matter any of those things. It's coming from the top down. They have to conform. That's wrong. That is unconstitutional, and they can't do it. What the church ought to do is just get together. Get a class action lawsuit going against these pontiffs who think they're all that. And let's rise up and lift up our voice. I mean, they're not teaching this in the schools, so we have to teach it here at the pulpit. The pulpit, the Black Robe Regiment is what won the Revolutionary War for us. If it wasn't for the Black Robe Regiment uniting the people on their deepest spiritual level, the Revolutionary War wouldn't have been won. And every one of the founding fathers who signed that Declaration of Independence would have been hanged. But they lived a long life and prospered. Amen. Wisdom will bring something to mind when you need it the most. In Acts chapter, I think it's 22. In fact, I'll go there. Acts chapter 22, wisdom will bring you right back to the very root of your new birth Boy, there was a song we were singing earlier that reminded me of this, Phil. It was something about our salvation and walking in it as we were when we were first born again, something like that. But Acts chapter 22. Paul was about to be beaten again. Wherever Paul went, I mean, there's going to be either a riot or a revival. That's just the way he was. It's the way he ran his life and ministry. He was going to speak the truth, and that's the only way you get people to really believe the gospel anyhow, is to speak the truth. In verse 24. He said, the chief captain commanded that he be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. You know what that is? They take a cat of nine tails and they beat you a few times and then they ask you a question. Then they beat you a few times until they get the truth out of you. That's what examined by scourging is. So examined by scourging that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, okay, they got thongs around his wrists. They're stretching him around this post. They're going to beat him. And Paul said to the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? In other words, I haven't had a trial, and I'm a Roman citizen. And in these days, a Roman citizen meant everything. If they found a body by the side of the road, and the first thing they do is check, see if this man is a Roman citizen. They usually attached something that was on him. And if he wasn't, he's garbage. If he was, then they had to do an entire investigation. Citizens in Rome had rights. And those rights were protected. And Paul was saying, look, is it lawful for you to do this? I'm a Roman, and you haven't even given me a trial, and you're beating me. This is what he's saying. And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what you're doing, for this man's a Roman. And the chief captain came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yeah. And the chief captain answered, and he said, with a great sum, I obtained this freedom. They used to buy their citizenship. It was almost like a mortgage that you would pay with a great sum. This guaranteed them rights and privileges as Roman citizens. The chief said, with a great sum, I obtained this freedom. Look what Paul said. He said, I was born free. Amen. Why is that in the Bible? What does wisdom tell you here? It tells you have a lot more than you're walking in. It tells you have a lot more going for you than this world can give you. Amen. Now, that was just Roman citizenship. You're a citizen in heaven. Yes. So next time the devil starts to threaten you, to make you feel like you're less, like they're going to squash you like a little bug, I'm a born-again, blood-washed, blood-bought child of living God. He is my Redeemer, and my Redeemer lives in me, and I'm letting him out by the words of my mouth right now. You back off in Jesus' name. You're a defeated foe, and greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. And I am victorious all the time because it says this, that he always causes me to triumph through him who loved me. And I will triumph in this, and I will triumph in the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And the devil goes, and hides. He backs off the same way he did here. So they didn't beat him. Paul said, I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should examine him. And the chief captain also, now he was afraid. See what happens here? This is the way demons operate. This is in here to show you how the authority of demons in this world and their chain of authority work, because all of a sudden now they're filled with the very fear that they were putting on you. They feel that fear when you talk about the Word of God. This is a benefit of wisdom. The wisdom of God is the Word of God. When you put the Word of God, you're releasing the wisdom of God. He has no answer for it. And you have all the answers you ever need right on the inside of you here. Praise God. What is it that's putting pressure on you today? Start speaking to it. What is it that's threatening you today? What is it in your body? Is it in your mind? Is it in your emotions? Is it in wherever? Trying to find a door, trying to find, knock the hinges loose a little bit and trying to get in. Start speaking the Word of God. The benefits of wisdom are fathomless. And I can go through the evangelical type and list them all. You're filled with the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit. These things belong to you. You were born into this. When you were born again, you were born into this. Amen. You got that? You got that? You're going to let it go? No. It's mine. These are the things I learned at the feet of Jesus, and they will not be taken from me. Amen. Benefits of wisdom. One reason Paul had so much wisdom was he prayed in tongues more than anybody else. One reason he had more revelation than anybody else is he prayed in tongues more than anybody else. One reason he had more boldness than anybody else, he prayed in tongues more than anybody. You're praying the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the Bible says, in a secret. This is our language. This is the language of the Spirit. God's real.
Amen.
His power is in you. Say this. His power is in me.
His power is in me.
Look at your neighbor. Say, His power is in you. Look at your neighbor again. Say, His power is in me. Say, I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. I'm no longer weak. I'm no longer deficient. I'm no more doubting. I'm no more fearful. That's passed away. I walk in the courage that Jesus gave me. Amen. 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 Now, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. This is not complicated. Jesus made it so simple. He carried all the burdens for you. He paid the price for you. I'm just going to ask everybody to bow your head right now and pray this very simple and loving prayer that God's been waiting for your whole life. Say this, Heavenly Father, I've sinned. And I know that you love me and sent Jesus to the cross for me. I receive the forgiveness of my sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your love to be deposited in me through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'm not going to ask you, I'm not going to embarrass you to stand up or anything, but I am going to ask you that after we dismiss, come up here. I want to pray with you. We've got some materials for you that will make it simpler and eliminate a lot of the questions, and it'll point you to the wisdom of God. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up front, and we will pray for you.